All right, praise the Lord, people. And as we grab our hymnals for our final hymn tonight, we will go to hymn number 187. 187 will stand, and we're going to sing the first and the last. First and the last, people. And then we'll get to our Sunday night message. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
A wonderful change has been wrought in my heart since Jesus came into my heart. I have lied in my soul for which longing I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy for my soul like the sea billows flow. Since Jesus came into my heart, I am out in the city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy for my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people. That tambourine sound pretty good tonight. Well, please be seated, church. And what a blessing to be in the Lord's house on a Sunday evening. We treasure our evening services indeed. Of course, we will sing again, but let's right now grab our Bibles. We'll get right to our study tonight. And praise the Lord that it's not snowing. It is Sunday, but it's not snowing. Isn't that amazing? Back to our studies tonight, beloved. In the eight mysteries of the New Testament, part three, week three tonight, as you're turning to Matthew 13. Now, beloved, tonight we will conclude our introduction to this series on the eight mysteries of the New Testament. Next week, we will begin our in-depth examination of each mystery individually. I can't wait. It is going to be a fabulous series of studies on these mysteries of God. So first of all, tonight, I want us to see, by way of introduction again, some opposition to the mystery. There's always been, there always will be, opposition to the mystery, okay? Now, listen carefully. At the time when Jesus began to reveal the concept of the mystery, he also revealed that there would be demonic opposition to the mystery. In that Satan is actively working on unbelievers to make them reject the gospel, which alone unveils the mystery. Then, he also works unceasingly on believers, attempting to prevent true believers from growing in the faith to a point where they will be able to comprehend the mysteries and teach others concerning them. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13, and look with me in Matthew 13 at verse number 3 in opening. Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, of course we know from the interpretation of the parable that the seed is what? The word of God, Lucas, that's right. The soil is what? The heart of the lost. Now, anytime you sow the seed, mark it down, the devil will come along and try to gobble it up. Notice in verse number 5, it says in verse number 4, the fowls came and devoured them. Those fowls in the Bible, when you see birds like that, it's talking about demon spirits. They love to come and gobble up the word of God that you plant in the soil of people's hearts. What is that? It's demonic opposition to the mystery. Look, drop down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. And what is the kingdom form today? What form is the kingdom in? Mystery. Mystery form. And understandeth it not. They understand not the mystery. Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Did you see what that said in verse 19? Jesus said the devil can steal God's word out of a person's heart. That's pretty scary right there. But it's true. Jesus said so. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. See that? 22. He also that receives seed amongst thorns is he that heareth the word, and cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, notice in verse 22, there are other oppositions besides the devil and his demons to the mystery. That is the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin. All these oppose the spreading and understanding of the mystery. Now, Paul also states that the world opposes the mystery because it cannot understand it. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, notice that the mystery is opposed by the lost world simply because they cannot understand it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look at this powerful verse concerning the lost and what they do. Verse number 6, Paul says, howbeit we, saved people, speak wisdom amongst them that are perfect. That's the saved, who are spiritually mature. Those are the ones that can receive the teachings of the mysteries, okay? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery. In a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which, this mystery, the wisdom of it, none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why did they crucify Jesus Christ? Because they knew him not. Because they knew him not. Why do they reject the mysteries of God? Because they know them not. Okay, next. Paul states that he himself was imprisoned because of satanic opposition to the proclamation of the mystery. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're laying a foundation. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul himself was opposed because of his proclamation of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 6, look with me at verse 19. Paul says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Notice the word in bonds. That means chained up. He's in chains. He's imprisoned. Okay? That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. At this time of the writing of the book of Ephesians, Paul was imprisoned at Rome. Okay? And he says, why am I in prison? For proclaiming the glory of the mystery. Christ in you. Okay? Colossians chapter 4. Flip over past Philippians to Colossians chapter 4. This is why Paul was imprisoned. He preached the mystery. Verse 2. You're not going to be popular when you preach the mysteries of God. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, chains. Paul says, I'm chained up in a Mamertine prison dungeon for making known the mystery, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul says, pray for me. I want to continue to make the mystery known, even to Caesar's palace. And he did. Then, in 2 Thessalonians, flip forward past 1 Thessalonians to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here Paul discusses the satanic mystery, which is the mystery of lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness, folks, is in direct opposition to the mystery of godliness, which is absolute submission to God's laws. Look at verse 7. Paul says, for the mystery of iniquity, that simply means the mystery of lawlessness, doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Paul says in verse 7 that Satan is working his own mystery. That's the satanic mystery. That mystery is the mystery of ungodliness. Ours is the mystery of godliness. You see, they're not spelt the same. Now, in Revelation chapter 17, don't turn there, but in Revelation 17, twice, Babylon, mystery Babylon, is mentioned. Verse 5 and verse 7. And it shows Satan's opposition to the true mystery, because the mystery of Babylon teaches beast worship, that is, universal worship of Antichrist during the tribulation period, instead of the worship of Jesus Christ. So it's called mystery Babylon, worship of Antichrist, whereas the mystery of godliness is worship of Jesus Christ. Okay, then in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, don't turn there. John says, the mystery of God is finished. Finished. What's he mean by that? John points out that the tribulation period judgments mean that God's mystery will finally destroy Satan's mystery forever. Okay? Because God's kingdom will be established and it will last forevermore. Glory to God. So the satanic, there's two satanic mysteries. They will be destroyed by the eighth godly mystery. We're going to see that when we come to mystery number 8. Okay? We are not going to study the two satanic mysteries. I have no desire to teach you about the two satanic mysteries. They're satanic. We're going to study God's mysteries. And we are going to see in the final one that the devil's mysteries are destroyed. Okay, secondly tonight, that is the opposition to the mystery. But secondly, what about the understanding of the mystery? Go back to Matthew 13. I have really good news for you tonight, church. You can understand the mystery and the mysteries of God. And I want to show you why. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a most incredible statement made by Messiah to his disciples. Look with me here in Matthew chapter 13. Question: how can one understand this new divine revelation, which was unrevealed throughout the entire Old Testament? Listen carefully. In Matthew 13, Jesus is going to tell us how. Look at verse number 10. And the disciples came and said unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them, the unbelievers, in parables? And Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, child of God, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Notice the word in verse 13, understand. Jesus says the world will not understand these mysteries, but you will, child of God, you will. Now, look at 14. And in them, the unbelievers, is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not what? Understand. They didn't understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, they got a heart problem. Listen to me. Anybody with a heart problem, spiritually speaking, on earth, cannot understand the mysteries of God. I didn't say lost people. Anybody. If you're saved today, if you've got sin in your life, you've got some secret sin nobody knows about but you and God, you will not understand the mysteries. Your understanding will be darkened until you come, repent of that sin, and come to that light. And Jesus Christ said in verse 12, to him shall be given more light concerning the mysteries. You see that? Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You've got blessed eyes and ears, beloved. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men, Old Testament, have desired to see those things which ye see, and to have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them, and to understand those things which ye understand, and have not understood them. Why? Because the mysteries were not to be revealed until the Son of God himself came to planet Earth. Incarnation. Alright. Here Messiah clearly says that the mysteries of the kingdom were not intended to be understood by unbelievers. They're only intended for believers and those whose hearts are right with God. That, listen, Jesus says here that the mysteries were intended only to be understood by true believers who were willing to walk in the Spirit and able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking through his word. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to finish up our introduction to the series tonight. And then we'll get going full bore next Sunday night. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, Paul describes four specific classes of people in relation to the mystery. Four classes or categories. The first category of people in relation to the mystery is found in verse 7. Look at verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our believers' glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, drop down with me to verse number 14. But the natural man, princes of this world that come to naught, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Now, the first category of people are called the natural man. The natural man. That is the unregenerate person. He or she, Paul also states that the natural man, he or she, is unable to comprehend the mysteries of God in verse 14. It's just foolishness unto them. Okay? They're unregenerate, they do not have the Spirit of God, and they have no ability to understand the mysteries of God. That's because they're lost. The second category of people concerning the mysteries is called a babe in Christ. Look in chapter 3 at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you, believers, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as even as unto babes in Christ. Now, the second category of hearers are those who are saved. Listen, this person is spiritually regenerated. They're born again, yet they're newly saved. They've never had a chance to grow spiritually. Therefore, naturally, they are unable yet to understand the mysteries of God. They have to grow and develop spiritual molars where they can chew the cud. They can chew on the meat of the Word of God, the deep truths of God, and perceive the mysteries, okay? That takes time. That takes growth. And let me say this. The more time you spend in this here book, the faster you will grow spiritually. I grew spiritually when I first got saved at an astronomical pace. My sister will tell you, the reason was simple. I devoured the Scripture. Night and day. I still to this day, she knows I can't get enough of the Scripture. Why? It's my meat. It's my food. It grows me. And you will develop spiritual muscles like a spiritual bodybuilder the more you're in that book. And you'll be able to understand and perceive. That's the spiritual babe in Christ. They can't understand still because they haven't grown. The third category in relation to the mysteries is called the carnal man. Go to chapter 3 again. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, fleshly, worldly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Paul says those who are saved, this third category, they are saved. They're born again and they're on their way to heaven, regardless of their performance. They're saved by grace. But they can't understand the mysteries of God because, like the babe in Christ, they have not grown spiritually. Now, these guys and gals, they can be saved 30, 40, 50 years and still be a babe in Christ. Isn't that sad? I mean, there's got to be some spiritual health and wealth, I mean, development in your Christian life, beloved. You've got to grow from wearing diapers spiritually to putting on your own trousers spiritually. You've got to grow from crawling on the rug like a rug rat spiritually to walking in the Spirit and jogging for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, these folks are carnal Christians, and they do not understand the mysteries because they've got sin in their life. They've been saved for some period of time, yet he or she walks in the flesh and does not desire to know and understand the mysteries of God. They prefer to live a selfish, carnal, fleshly life without yielding to the Holy Spirit in obedience and in joy and divine communion with Jesus Christ. The fourth category, I'm so glad you asked, is called the spiritual man. Go back to chapter 2 again. Look at verse 11. Who are these guys? Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God, the mysteries of God, knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You want to know about the mysteries of God? You've got to go to the Spirit of God. Now, we, saved people, have received, not the spirit of the world. We used to have that. But the Spirit which is of God, capital S. That we might, what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Beloved, listen to me tonight. God wants you to know and understand the mysteries of the kingdom. He wants you to be a grown-up Christian. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost wants to teach you the mysteries of God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I wonder where we get those spiritual things. Oh, yeah, in the Bible. Now drop down to verse 15. He that is spiritual, that's a saved, born-again Christian, walking in the Spirit. He's yielded to the Spirit of God. He's being controlled. He's bringing forth fruit of the Spirit. Watch it. Judgeth all things. That word there, Greek word, is discerneth. Discerneth. Understandeth. He judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. He himself is discerned by nobody. Walking down the street, you don't know him from Adam. But that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. She understands the mysteries of God. The world does not understand that about her or him. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, beloved. Therefore, we can know the mysteries, okay? Now, something else I want you to see tonight. Not only these four categories, but this believer, this fourth one, has spiritual understanding in the mysteries, but he, listen to me, he or she actively seeks and pursues deeper understanding in the revelations of Scripture. That means your heart desires more. You don't come to the point where you say, ha, well, I think I learned enough about the Bible. I can just take a sabbatical, you know, and go on vacation and never serve God again. No! You and I are growing until we get to heaven. Even Paul himself was still growing spiritually. Now, another question arises here. What is the process whereby one gains deeper understanding in the mysteries of God? What is the mechanics of it, or the process of going through it? There are three key passages that clearly provide the answer to this question. Go with me first to Isaiah chapter number 8. We're right on schedule tonight. Isaiah chapter number 8. I'm so glad you asked, how does one come to understand the mysteries? It's simple. The Bible tells us clearly how it is that one grows into the understanding of these mysteries. Isaiah chapter number 8. Here in Isaiah chapter 8, the prophet makes the point that only the Word of God can impart divine revelation and understanding in the mysteries of God. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, says, bind up the testimony, seal the law, among who? My disciples. Oh, there's a number of things we could preach on in this verse, beloved. Number one, you've got to be a disciplined one. He says the law and the testimony, that's the word of God. It's for my disciples, my disciplined ones, my children who are walking in the Spirit, walking in sanctification. It's for them. Now, listen carefully. Notice the warning concerning those who make strange sounds and sensational experiences. Go to verse 19. A stern warning given. And when they, the world, shall say unto you, saved person, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Seek unto them that speak in tongues. Seek unto them that can push you over like Benny Hinn. Seek unto them that have worked miracles, wonders, and signs. Look at it. Verse 19. And unto wizards that peep and that, what? Mutter? That's a strange sound coming out of somebody's mouth. Should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Should a spiritually alive person seek to the spiritually dead person? Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony of verse 16, the word of God. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah is saying to God's people, you do not need miracle signs and wonders. You need the word of God. Did you hear what I said? Here is the problem with your charismatic movement, your Pentecostal movement. They depend on emotional, experiential feelings instead of upon the word of God, which can never fail. Amen? Now, listen. He's saying apart from the Bible revelation, one cannot understand the mysteries of God. I don't care how many foreign languages you can speak in that you don't know. That gift ceased in the first century AD when the canon of Scripture was complete. We don't need signs, we need the Word of God. Oh, how many people reject that notion. Oh, I want these strange experiences. Be careful. Them that mutter and peep, watch out. Secondly, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There's another passage of Scripture that deals directly with how one may come to understanding. First, by the Word of God. Second, 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Now here in this passage, before we read, Paul warns the church at Corinth, which tended toward the sensational, carnal, and experiential, as you know, not to seek after extra-biblical revelation. Look at verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 6, Paul says, "In these things, brethren, I have been a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is what? Written." I wonder where it's written, Paul. Oh yeah, the Word of God. "That no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Paul is saying that signs and wonders and miracles and gifts only serve to puff up one with pride. He says, never mind about that, but mind that which is written. He says, don't go beyond or above that which is written. I don't know about you, but I don't want to step outside this book. In any area of my life, I don't want to go outside of biblical revelation. He's saying, don't look for any spiritual experience or knowledge outside of what God has given in His Word. This is critical in seeking understanding spiritually in the mysteries of God. Thirdly, another passage that speaks directly concerning how we may come to understanding is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. How I love this chapter. This is such great stuff here, beloved. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here, in this passage, Paul makes 5 specific points, and we'll close with these, concerning the experience of those who seek spiritual understanding in the mysteries of God. First, that he or she will be persecuted for seeking these mysteries. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Time out. Before we read, let me make a statement, church. If you seek a deeper spiritual walk with Jesus Christ, you seek to understand the mysteries of God, let me tell you something. You will be persecuted. The Bible says so. And a lot of times it'll come from the brethren. Ooh! He says, whoa! Yeah! From other believers who don't seek the deeper life, who don't want to walk in the Spirit, and who don't want deeper understanding in the mysteries of God. But because you do, they're going to be jealous of you. They're going to accuse you of nonsense, which isn't true. And you'll be persecuted. Look at it. Verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Mark it down. Listen to me, beloved. As you study the mysteries of God and you draw nearer to the Spirit of the living God and He imparts divine revelation to you concerning these truths, you will grow in godliness. Hear what I said? Not too many guys preaching about that today, but it's true. You will grow in godliness. And as you do, you'll be persecuted. Let me ask you a question tonight, church. Is that persecution worth it? Oh yeah! My hands up! It's worth it! Because Jesus is worth it. Secondly, this passage also shows that deceivers will attempt to teach him or her, that those who seek the understanding, false doctrine while they do. Look at verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You know why they deceive people? Because they themselves are deceived by the devil. So they seek to deceive others with their false doctrine. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. There will be deceivers coming to you and saying, "Oh, you're a British Israelite. You're a Jew." Okay. You're one of the 144,000. You need to read what's on those golden plates. should I go on? Need I go on? Man, I mean, it's all around us, this false doctrine. It's everywhere you turn. But as you grow in your understanding of the mysteries, you will not be deceived. Thirdly, that the only way of overcoming deception is by God's holy word. Look at verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And, yeah, The guy who wrote more than half the New Testament, that guy. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, that's spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, understanding the mysteries. Ad lib. You see it? Your only weapon to counteract the deceivers and those who preach false doctrine is the word of God. Why? Because verse 16 says it's given by God. By God. I don't care what the joker comes down the pike preaching. If it's not of God, I don't want to hear it. I'll close the door on him right quick. Because I only want what is of God. Fourthly, that this holy word of God must be proclaimed unceasingly by him or her who seeks deeper understanding. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine. Paul is simply saying that if you're going to grow in your spiritual understanding of the mysteries of God, you must be continuously, unceasingly proclaiming the word of God. Amen? It will counterbalance any false doctrine coming your way. Fifthly and finally, that only God's word is able to counteract their heresies. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they, those false teachers, those who have not the Spirit of God, will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the word of God. They want some feeling, some experience. But after their own lust, there's the problem right there. The lust of the flesh. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means they will vote in pastors who won't preach against lust. Pastors who will tickle their fancy and make them feel good. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's fairy tales. Wow. Is that not the world we live in today, church? They've got pastors, they've got mega churches, but they have itching ears after their own lusts. Paul says here that only God's word can counteract their heresies. So clearly, beloved, in order for you and I to understand the mysteries of God, it is only by learning sound doctrine while yielding to the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Did you hear what I said? I said, you can't live like the devil all week, come to church and expect to understand these mysteries. You have to learn to walk holding the Holy Spirit's hand, letting him lead and guide you in the way, directing your paths. And then you'll be in a position to understand the mysteries that he wants so desperately to reveal to you. Amen? God wants to show us so much. He wants to reveal so much glory to us. But we limit him. We limit him by our actions. And that ought not to be. In closing, let me say this. Next week, we will begin our journey through the 8 mysteries of the New Testament. It's going to be glorious. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the 3-week introduction to the mysteries of the New Testament. And Lord, how we thank you tonight that it all comes down to one thing. The foundation of every mystery of God is the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for preserving these truths for us. And thank you for instructing us in how we may understand these mysteries and become closer to thee and become more effective witnesses for thee and become better servants for thee. Thank you, Lord, that we will grow in godliness as we continue to yield to thy Spirit and keep our nose buried in this book and walk with the King day in, day out. We thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name, the people said. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight for a closing hymn of the faith.
220.
He's got one already picked out. Oh, praise the Lord, people.
What channel, Pastor?
Channel would be 67. I don't, sorry, Mark, I don't tonight have the music to 220, but perhaps next time. Hymn number, all God's children. It would be hymn number 67, and we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth. Oh, praise the Lord. We'll stand. Sing it to the Lord. I'm so glad he paid it all. For you and me.
The Savior say, thy strength indeed is strong. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Oh yes, glory to God. Second,
Lord, now in need I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name.
When before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save.
Oh yeah,
my lips shall still repeat.
Everybody now,
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Ooh. Oh, thank you, Lord. Wow, what a great hymn of the faith to close with tonight. What a good day the Lord's given us today, church. And I can't tell you what it means to me to have you in church, to be able to preach to you. And what a blessing you all are to me. I love you all. And we look forward to Wednesday night at 7 o'clock if you're able to join us for our studies in the book of Galatians. It's getting good. We're going to finish up chapter 2 this week. And oh boy, Wednesday night's going to be real special. Remember Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, by the faith I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen, Jim? my mind went blank. Brother Mark, close us in prayer. Love y'all.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the gathering here we are tonight.
Yes,
we're
Lord.
Small gathering, but a very meaningful gathering. And thank you for Pastor Bob for speaking his word. And thank you very much. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.